إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue reading from أسئلة المناهج، الأجوبة المفيدة عن أسئلة المناهج الجديدة. This book about the manhaj and teach us about what we need to know about manhaj al-salaf that we should be upon. We thank Allah for guiding us to it, and we ask Allah to keep us upon it until we die on it. And also we learn from this book and in this class the innovated methodologies so that we can know who they are and be aware of them so we can not fall into their path, inshaAllah ta'ala. Question number 12. هل هذه الجماعات تدخل في الاثنتين وسبعين فرقة الهالكة؟ The previous couple of questions was about the groups, these innovated methodologies, those sects who opposes Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the sects that they invented for themselves new principles, that opposes the principles of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These deviant sects and innovative methodologies, all these deviant sects, do they enter under the 72 destroyed sects? Because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says that this ummah will split onto 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except one. So the 72 are destroyed. So that's the question was, these groups that the Shaykh, he mentioned and he was warned against, and from them now in these days, Jama'at al-Ikhwan, Jama'at al-Tabligh, are they under these 72 sects? قال نعم كل من خالف أهل السنة والجماعة ممن ينتسب إلى الإسلام في الدعوة أو في العقيدة أو في شيء من أصول الإيمان فإنه يدخل في الاثنتين وسبعين فرقة ويشمله الوعيد ويكون له من الذم والعقوبة بقدر مخالفته. The Shaykh in the answer of this question, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات, he says yes, everyone who opposes Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from those who they say they are upon Islam, whether they differ in the da'wah or in the creed or any matters from the principles of the Iman, he is included in the 72 sects. And also they subject themselves to the severe threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are blameworthy, and they will be punished, everyone according to their violation, according to that which they has opposed, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Once again, you see the Shaykh, he mentioned it clear. It's not about where this group, where they at, what country, what color. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with one thing, because they oppose Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They oppose that which the Prophet ﷺ was upon his companions in da'wah, like Jama'at Tabligh, the Ikhwan in our times, Sufis and the like. They oppose principles that the Sahaba they were upon in da'wah, in aqidah, in principles of Iman. So anyone who does this, he is included in these 72 sects. سؤال, question number 13. هل من تسمى بالسلفي يعتبر متحزبا? It is a question, important question. A person asked, if someone say he's a Salafi, that means that he is متحزب, that he belongs to a party or to a certain people, Because this is very important to understand the answer to this question. Because some people, they say, why you call yourself Salafi? Why Salafiyya? Okay? And by you calling yourself a Salafi, so why don't you just call yourself a Muslim? Why Salafi? Okay? قال الشيخ في الجواب التسمي بالسلفية إذا كان حقيقة لا بأس به. He says, if a person calls himself a Salafi and he applies it, in reality he applies the Salafiyya, this is okay. It's okay. And we're going to go back to this statement because there is footnotes, a long footnote, but we're going to finish the answer of the Shaykh, Hafidhullah. قال أما إذا كان مجرد دعوة فإنه لا يجوز أن يتسمى بالسلفي وهو على غير منهج السلف. He says, yes, if a person really upon the way of the Salaf, upon that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon his companions, no, that person say he's a Salafi. But if a person just adhered to Salafiyya by claim, and he's not upon what the Salaf they were upon, so it's not permissible for that person to say himself is a Salafi, to call himself a Salafi while he's opposing the Minhaj al-Salaf. You see? So he cannot call himself a Salafi while he's opposing a Salaf. And this is a clear refutation against certain deviant people who they are upon some very innovative methodologies and they say they're Salafis. The Shaykh he gave an example. He said, فَالْأَشَاعِرَ مَثَلًا يَقُولُونَ نَحْنُ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ قَالُوا هَذَا غَيْرُ صَحِيحٍ. He said, for instance, as an example, the Asha'ira. Remember, the Asha'ira, they are a deviant sect. And we studied that in the Saturday class, alhamdulillah. We just talked about them last Saturday. The Asha'ira, for example, they say they are Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. The Shaykh said, this is not sahih. This is not correct. This is not correct. لأن الذي هم عليه ليس هو منهج أهل السنة والجماعة. Why? Even though they say they are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but that which the Asha'ira they are upon is not what the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon. They are not upon the manhaj and the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So even if they call themselves the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are not from them. وكذلك المعتزلة يسمون أنفسهم بالموحدين. Likewise, you find another deviant sect, which is the Al-Mu'tazila. In the class of Saturday, alhamdulillah, we dealt with them as well. Al-Mu'tazila, they call themselves the Muwahideen, those who are upon Tawheed. But they are not upon the Minhaj al-Salaf. And he mentioned a lines of poetry, كُلُّن يَدَّعِي وَصْلًا لِلَيْلَى وَلَيْلَى لَا تُقَرُ لَهُمْ بِذَاكَ. This is a line of poetry that says, everybody claims he knows Layla, but Layla doesn't approve of that. Layla doesn't know them. قال فالذي يزعم أنه على مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة يتبع طريق أهل السنة والجماعة ويترك المخالفين. He says, anyone who claims that he's upon the منهج of أهل السنة والجماعة, and that's the Salaf. If someone says he's Salafi, meaning he's upon the way of the Salaf, and the Salaf, they are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ahlul Athar, Ahlul Hadith, Al-Taif al-Mansur, Al-Firqa al-Najiyah. So the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, anyone who claims that he is upon the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he has to follow them. No, don't just claim. He has to follow them in truth. And also by opposing and forsaking and distancing himself from anyone who opposed the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. قال أما أنه يريد أن يجمع بين الضب والنون كما يقولون أن يجمع بين دواب الصحراء ودواب البحر فلا يمكن هذا أو يجمع بين النار والماء في كفة فلا يمكن هذا. He says, but as for the one who really wants to, he says, gather between the animals that live in the ocean and the animals that live in the desert, he says, that's impossible. How are you going to have in one place the animals that live in the ocean? Because if you take them out of the ocean, they die. And the animals who live only in the desert, if you take them in a deep ocean, they will die, drown and die. So likewise, And he gave another example. He said, this one who claimed to be upon Manhaj al-Sunnah, but he's still with the Ahlul Bid'ah, with the people of innovations and with this and with that. He said, he's like someone who wants to have both water and a fire in the same bucket. One of them gave up to the other. قال فلا يجتمع أهل السنة والجماعة مع مذهب المخالفين لهم كالخوارج والمعتزلة والحزبيين ممن يسمونهم المسلم المعاصر. He says, so therefore, أهل السنة والجماعة, they never be or mix with those who oppose them, like the خوارج, the معتزلة, and in our days, the حزبيز, who they call them, the modern Muslims, like Ikhwan Muslimin, Tabligh, and them, they call them the modern Muslims. You know, these Muslims who have the modern Islam, not the old Islam, modern version of Islam, wal-iyadu billah. So the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah don't mix with these people. قال وهو الذي يريد أن يجمع ضلالات أهل العصر مع منهج السلف. Who is this modern Muslim, he says. The Sheikh said, he is that person who wants to bring to Islam the misguidance and the falsehood in this time and all the evil, like many evils in this time, and says it's okay. This is from the manhaj of the Salaf, وَلْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. قَالْ فَلَا يُصْلِحُ آخِرَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا مَا أَصْلَحَ أَوَّلَهَا. And he mentioned the statement that is, the ulama, they mentioned, that it was mentioned by Imam Malik or Kaysan bin Mihran also, that nothing will rectify the latter part of this ummah except that which has rectified its first part. And that's the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the wahi, the revelation. قال فالحاصل أنه لا بد من تمييز الأمور وتمحيصها. The Shaykh said it is very important to be cautious and see who's upon the truth. Not anyone who claims he's upon Salafiyya is a Salafi. He has to be Salafi in reality, not just by claim, not just by affiliation. Ayna'am. Now I'm going to go ahead. That was the end of the answer of the Shaykh, Hafidullah, our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Walid, Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidahullah, wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lilmuslimin wa muslimat. Now we're going to read to you some of the footnotes. Footnotes, huh? نعم. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله في الفتاوي ما نصه. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه تعالى in his book الفتاوي volume 4 page 149. لا عيب على من أظهر مذهب السلف وانتسب إليه واعتزى إليه بل يجب قبول ذلك منه بالاتفاق فإن مذهب السلف لا يكون إلا حقا. There is no wrong and no blame on anyone who manifests the madhab of the Salaf and associate with himself to manhaj al-Salaf. He says there is no blame and nothing wrong with a person say he's a Salafi and he's upon the way of the Salaf. Rather, he says it's an obligation to accept that from him with the consensus of the ulama, because the madhab of the Salaf can be nothing but the truth. Because the madhab of the Salaf can be the truth and nothing but the truth. Because who is the Salaf? He's a prophet and his companions, radwanullahi alayhim. And who claimed to be upon the haqq if he says he's not with these people? Yes, subhanallah. In the Shaykh Jamal bin Furayhan, hafidhullah, he says, أقول تأمل أخي القارئ كلام شيخ الإسلام الذي كان قبل ثمانية قرون. He says, now reflect and ponder carefully upon the statements of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He made these statements centuries ago, like 700 years ago. وَكَأَنَّهُ يَرُدُّ عَلَى بَعْدِ الْمُعَاصِرِينَ الْيَوْمِ مِمَّنْ يَنْتَسَبَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ مَنْ أَوْجَبَ عَلَى أَحَدِ النَّاسِ أَوْجَبَهُ وُجُوبًا أن يكون إخوانيا أو سلفيا أو تبليغيا أو سروريا فإنه يستتاب فإن تاب إلا قتل. He says, in this statement, Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه وتعالى, that was said maybe over 700 years ago, It is as though he is refuting some of the contemporary people. He says who they associate themselves with knowledge, and they say, that person say, whoever says that is obligatory upon anyone from the people to say he's Ikhwani or Salafi or Tablighi or Sururi, that person should be brought to the judge. If he repent from that, or he be executed. قال هذا في شريط متداول بين الشباب بعنوان فر من الحزبية فرارك من الأسد. He says that this person said it in his well and famous tape. It's been a couple years ago. A tape cassette that is well disseminated amongst the youth. That tape's name, it has a title, Run Away from Hizbiya, the same way you run from the line. Then the Sheikh mentioned, بعد الانتهاء من هذا الكتاب وصلتني أوراق فيها بعض المراجعات من عائد القرني عن بعض أخطائي عن دوز عائد القرني. عائد القرني, by the way, is a deviant caller. He's a famous caller amongst the deviant callers. He's from Saudi Arabia, but he's a deviant caller. May Allah protect us, and especially the youth, from his evil. And may Allah bring him to the Haqq. This man, Aid al-Qarni, the Sheikh Jamal bin Furayhan bin al-Harithi, he says, after this book was finished, he received some papers that shows that this man who made that statement, meaning if someone says he's a Salafi, he has to be, to repent from that or to be executed, al-Iyadu Billah. While Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahu ta'ala, he says it's okay to be Salafi as long as you are upon the way of the Salaf. He says then, after we finish this book, he said he received some papers that from this man, Aid al-Qarni, who he's taking back or correcting some of his mistakes. قال فوجدت من بين تراجعاته تراجع عن هذه الزلة فمن باب العدل والإنصاف نذكر له تراجعه مع التحفظ على بعض التراجعات وأسلوبه فيها وقد تسمى مغالطات. He says, so it is because we're just, you see, alhamdulillah, we find, he says, in the thing that he took back, and he says that he was wrong in this one, this mistake. He says, alhamdulillah, we apply justice, and we have to mention, he says, these statements of his, even though he says he didn't take back all of his mistakes. And he mentioned that he says, وَقَدْ قُلْتُ فِي شَرِيطِ فِرَّ مِنَ الْحِزْبِيَّ فِرَارَكَ مِنَ الْأَسَدِ مَنْ أَوْجَبَ عَلَى النَّاسِ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَحَدَهُمْ إِخْوَانِيًّا أَوْ تَبْلِغِيًّا أَوْ سَلَفِيًّا فإنه يستتاب فإن تبعوا إلا قتل. That عائد القرني, he says in that tape, whoever says that is obligatory upon the people that one of them can be Ikhwani or Tablighi or Salafi, then he has to be presented to the ruler, or the one who represents the ruler as the judge, and if he repents from this mistake, or he is to be executed. قال فهذه العبارة خطأ مني وأستغفر الله منها. So Aid al-Qarni, he said that this statement like this is a mistake, and he seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from saying it. قال وأردت أن من فعل ذلك فقد شرع ولكنها غلطة على كل حال وأنا أعتذر منها. He says what he intended from that, if someone has legislated for the people this ways, he said that anyway that was a mistake, and he presented his excuses from it. قال وأعتقد أن مذهب السلف هو المذهب الصحيح الذي يجب على الناس اتباعه واقتفاؤه وسلوك سبيله. And he says himself that he believed that the madhab of as-salaf, it is the correct madhab, that it is obligatory upon the people to follow it and to adhere to it and to be on it. In the Sheikh Jamal bin Furayhan, who compiled this book, alhamdulillah, one of the students of knowledge, says, إن من المعلوم عند أهل السنة والجماعة الرجوع عن جميع الأخطاء وليس الجزء. He says, it is well known with Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that a person should recant and take back all of his mistakes, not just part of it. Not just part of it. If a person makes mistakes in anything, he has to make that clear. Not just select whatever he wants to say he's wrong and keep the others. وأن يكتب الاعتراف والتصويب والرجوع في منابر النشر والإعلان حتى يراها كل أحد وليس في أوراق منزوية لا يدري بها إلا أقل القليل فتنبه أخي القارئ من المغالطات. He said, sometimes people they don't follow the right way when they say that they repent, or when they say actually that they were wrong, but rather they want to play games. He said, this man, what he said is all over the place. He's famous, he's many people heard it and many people know it. He said, if this man really, he want to do it the right way, then he has to do it the same way. Not just write in some papers and only few people know about it. No, he has to mention it on a minbar in his classes and he has to be given to the people so that everybody know that he was wrong. Not just he write it in some papers and only few people know about it. What about those many people who they still believe that he said what he said? He said, look, certain people, they are not truthful when in what they say. Okay, in our terms, they play games. You know, they just want to do it their way instead to do it the way that it is right. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله من شرط توبة الداعي إلى البدعة أن يبين أن ما كان يدعو إليه بدعة وضلالة وأن الهدي في ضده. And then the Sheikh mentioned some of the statements of our noble Salaf, the ulama. For instance, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, one of the conditions, if a da'i who used to call to an innovation and he says that he repented from that, one of these conditions that he has to make that clear to the people. Not just to a few. Because he didn't say that to a few people. No, if he called, he used to call to it on the manbar in the classes, he has to do that. So that the people, they know that what he has repented from and has left, it is dalala, misguidance. And that the guidance in what opposes it, and he make clear the guidance of the Salaf in the matter. Then the Shaykh, he says, ثُمَّ إِنَّا نَسْأَلُ سُؤَالٍ. Because this man, Ayad al-Qarni, is very dangerous. He's the one who wrote the book, لَا تَحْزَن, don't be sad. You heard about the book? Don't be sad, right? It's translated in English. Do not read that book. That book is like they sold so many million copies. So he's a rich man. But that book is no good. Okay? So this man, Aid al-Qarni. He said, we ask him one question. هل هذه الغلطة الوحيدة والزلة الفريدة من هذا الداعية الذي حصل على درجة الدكتوراه مؤخرا؟ He said, is this is the first and only mistake that this man really fall into? That he recently got his PhD. And we were talking about now years ago. We're talking about like some, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, okay? But he's still upon what he's upon, this man, Ayd al-Qarni. He's still upon his dalal wa'iyadu billah. Up to this day, we don't know that he went back to manhaj al-salaf. They talk bad about the ulama, and they talk bad about اللجنة الدائمة and the like, والعياذ بالله. على أيين يا أخوان. That was enough for that man. I'm not even going to like spend all time talking about him. Alright? طيب. Sheikh, he mentioned a lot of his mistakes in details. Those who wants to read more, you get the book. And the book is translated, by the way, inshallah ta'ala. Just write that name, Aid al-Qarni. He's one of the people that you do not listen to, you do not take from. And you do not refer him to anyone else. Aid al-Qarni. And he has a brother, Awad al-Qarni. And Nabil al-Awadi. Okay? Tayyib. Question number 14. من المعلوم أن الدعوة إلى الله تحتاج إلى العلم الشرعي، فهل هذا العلم هو حفظ الكتاب والسنة؟ وهل يكفي العلم الذي يدرس في المدارس والجامعات للدعوة إلى الله؟ The questioner says, it is known that da'wah, calling to Allah, requires knowledge from the legislation first. That before a person calls, he has to have knowledge, he has to learn. And here is the question now. He says, is knowledge consist of memorizing the Quran and the Sunnah? That consider knowledge, whoever memorizes the Quran and ahadith, go give da'wah. And that knowledge, he says, of the religion that you receive in schools, elementary schools, high school and the like, does it enough? And also in the knowledge that the people they receive in the faculties and colleges, is it enough to give da'wah? الجواب قال الشيخ العلم هو حفظ النصوص وفهم معانيها فلا يكفي حفظ النصوص فقط أي نعم سبحان الله the sheikh says knowledge that is required for da'wah or knowledge in general is yes memorization of the text with the proper understanding of those texts that's ilm if a person he says he have knowledge of this hadith He memorized the hadith and he knows the understanding of the hadith. He understood the hadith correctly, not just memorizing. He says, memorizing Quran and memorizing a hadith by itself is not enough. لا يكفي أن الإنسان يحفظ نصوص القرآن والأحاديث. لا بد من معرفة معانيها الصحيحة. أما بمجرد النصوص بدون فهم لمعانيها فهذا لا يؤهل للدعوة إلى الله عز وجل. الشيخ says, it is not enough for a person to memorize texts from the Quran, ayats and ahadith, rather, it is incumbent upon that person who memorized those ayats and those ahadith to know their true meanings. What they mean? What does ayah mean? Truly, not just any meaning. He has to acquire the correct understanding of this text. As for just memorizing without understanding, without having the understanding, He says, this person is not qualified to give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's true, ya akhwan. And the Shaykh, he didn't mention it here, but he mentioned so many of his work. Shaykh Salah Fawzan, he says, and this ilm has to be taken from the ulama. Not just from books, person getting a book and read. You got to sit with the ulama and ask the ulama the things that you don't understand and the like. Now, subhanAllah, look, let's stop here and open a window. Now you find a lot of laymen, they think anybody who memorizes the Quran is a big sheikh. No, somebody memorizes the Quran is a big sheikh. That's it, he's an alim actually. And I remember when I was in Pennsylvania, in the Philadelphia area, there was a brother from Palestine, and we used to work with him, alhamdulillah, and give him da'wah. MashaAllah, and he accepted, alhamdulillah, and he grew his beard, and he began to pray, and he find opposition from his parents, especially his father. His father, he was just a layman person, and he's like, yeah, oh son, you're going too far now, you're growing your beard and this and that. Finally, this brother, he wants to get married. So the Palestinian, if you don't know, many of them, I don't know if all of them, they wants to marry in their clans and in their tribes. So this brother, he's supposed to go back to Palestine, this is years ago, to Palestine to marry this girl from his family. Okay? That's how they do it. But now his parents, especially his father, is concerned. He says, son, you have to shave your beard because if you go with this long beard, they're going to put you in jail. You got to shave your beard. So he came to me and says, Akhi, you don't shave your beard. The ulama, they said, this is not a reason for you to shave your beard. There's no reasons. Other people went with their beards. Nothing happened to them. Just your parents, they're just paranoid, man. Don't listen to your father. Okay? And we're going to ask one of the mashayikh. So I ask one of the mashayikh, he says yes. After I talk to him, I ask the mashayikh, he says no, there's nothing happening. He keep his beard, they know. This is not true. It's just because those laymen, that's what they heard and from each other. So he said to his father, look, you're not. Finally, the brother, he came to me. He says, well, my father said that he went and asked this alim. And he says, no, he shaved his beard. I said, alim where? He said, right here in Philadelphia. I said, Allahu Akbar, we have ulama in Philly? I didn't know. Please tell us so we can go sit with this alim. We learn from him aqidah and tawheed. So I said, your father says who? He says the imam of this masjid, Ikhwani Masjid. This man, he memorized Quran, you know? So he said to me, please talk to my father. I said, I will. So I went to talk to him, even he didn't work right, but alhamdulillah, you have to be patient sometimes. You know, do was sabr wa al adhafi. Part of giving da'wah, you have to be patient. By encountering the harms of others, ignorant people. So he said, why are you telling my son? While a scholar said to him, it's okay to shave. I said, look, who is this scholar? He said, this is a scholar. That's a scholar to you? He said, yes, he's a scholar, big scholar. He says, why? He said, he memorized Quran. You see? I said, that's it, because he memorized the Quran, he's a scholar? Yes. I said to his son, look, man, this is your father. We're not going to argue with him. I said, look, if when you slow down, cool down, we can talk. So, yeah, never want to talk this. So we left him. We'll talk to him later on. We try to explain to him, look, it's not anybody who memorized Quran is a scholar. But look how the laymen, they think that anyone who has memorized Quran is a scholar. Memorizing Quran is a good thing. What about there are people who memorize Quran and they steal upon shirk? They memorize Quran and go to some grave and say, oh, so help me. These people, they really understood Quran? They believe in Quran? There is ayats, clear ayats that against shirk, and he's memorized Quran and go commit shirk, al-iyadu billah. Anyway, the Shaykh says, not just because someone memorized Quran is qualified to give da'wah. Actually, the ulama, some of noble scholars, they says, even a person have knowledge, but still he may not be qualified to give da'wah. It takes more than to just, yes, you have to have knowledge, that's very important. But there is other things, patience, wisdom, hikmah. Well, some people don't have that. قال الشيخ أما من يدرس في المدارس إذا كان فيه حفظ للنصوص وفهم لمعانيها فهو كاف أما إذا كان حفظ للنصوص من دون فهم للمعاني فهذا لا يؤهل للدعوة لكن بإمكان هذا أن يحفظ الناس النصوص التي حفظها ويلقنهم إياها دون شرح لمعانيها أو يقرأها عليهم ويسمعهم إياها سبحان الله. Listen to this answer, Yahwan. The Shaykh says, and as for what comes in a part of the question, the knowledge that certain people they receive in schools and faculties and the like, because I'm going to talk about Saudi Arabia, may Allah preserve the kingdom, because alhamdulillah they teach aqidah, they teach the manhaj of al-salaf in their curriculums. I don't know any other country that does that. Allahu a'lam. I could be wrong, and I would love to be wrong, because alhamdulillah, if there is more than it, Allahu Akbar, that's good for the Muslims. But me personally, I don't know, other than them, in their curriculum, that they adhere to the manhaj al-salaf. And that's a reality. Alhamdulillah. Saudi government don't give me no money or nothing. I'm not on payroll with them. Alhamdulillah. But this is a reality. Only those who have no good in their hearts, they deny this reality. But Saudi Arabia do a lot of good, alhamdulillah. They're not perfect. Even the ulama, Sheikh bin Baz, Uthaymeen and others, they says, yes, they have their shortcomings, but they are the best in this time. And they keep saying, show us any government or any rulers or any country that they're better than them. So, anyway, me in my house, actually I have couple of books which they are the curriculum of Tawheed and Fiqh and Hadith and Quran, ya akhi, from first grade they teach them Tawheed, second grade, third grade, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, okay, there's no 13, but that's, you know, college, right? Okay, from 12 and up, I mean with 13, 14, 15, college. Doesn't matter what you major. You major in science, in physics, in math, in doctor, whatever, medicine, physics, chemistry, history. You got to study Tawheed. You got to study عقيدة صحيحة عقيدة السلف الله أكبر نعم I have books like I told you in my house curriculums I brought with me when from there so the sheikh that's why he says the sheikh says if a person learn sound knowledge from these schools he memorized the text but he was taught the correct meanings of those texts yes that's enough for him to call to that which he know that person he can say look in the school this ayah they taught us it means this and this because Abu Bakr says Umar says Uthman says Ali says Ibn Mas'ud says because this Tabi'i Mujahid says Ikrimah says Imam Ahmed says Shafi'i Malik says Abu Hanifa says because Ibn Taymiyyah says you see No, yeah, he says yes, he can call to that. He says, but if in that school they just memorize without understanding the text, said he cannot call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's not qualified. Just by memorizing the text doesn't make a person qualified. Rather, this person who memorized the Quran, for example, he says, he can do one thing. He can do one thing. Yes, he's not qualified to give da'wah. Unless he has with the memorization of the text, what he should have? The correct understanding of those texts. According to the understanding of who? As-salaf as-salih. As-salaf, Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, Ahlul Hadith. But if this person memorized Quran, what can he do? Cannot call to Allah. But what can he do, the Shaykh says? Can teach it to others. He memorized Quran correctly, tajweed, he can sit and teach what he memorized. Yeah, he can teach the people, help them to memorize the Quran without telling them, oh, by the way, this ayah means this, and this ayah contains this or that. No, it's not permissible for him. Because he didn't learn that. You see? So he didn't learn that. Said he read to them. Somebody come to him and say, look, I'm memorizing this ayah or this surah. He's like, okay, so go ahead, say it. Oh no, you're wrong in this. You're wrong. Do it again. No, that's it. But if someone comes to him and say, what does it mean? He said, Allahu A'lam, look, I'm here, make no mistakes, brother. I'm here only to check your memorization. Don't you ask me what it means, because I didn't learn what it means, okay? So don't ask me that. The same thing the Shaykh, I read to him, they asked him a question, he says, Ya Shaykh, people who memorize Mutun, you know, Arba'in Nawawiyyah, Kitab al-Tawheed, Thalatatu Usul, Qawa'id al-Arba'a, Kashf al-Shubuhat, this Bayquniyyah, this, many books, people memorize them, he said, they good? The Shaykh said, it's good if they know what it means. He said, if they memorize Kitab al-Tawheed, they should sit with the alim and study the meaning, what he means. They memorize Qawa'id Arba'a, they need to learn from the scholars what he means. Likewise, he said, if these people, they only memorize, he said, the shaitan going to play with their minds. Why? Because they know Allah. Now they're just going to like, whenever somebody asks them, oh, they bring this ayah, oh, three lines of poetry from here, two pages from this book, they don't know what he means. He said, that's dangerous for those people because now they think they know. Simply because what? They memorize texts. Sheikh says, no. A student of knowledge is the one who not only memorized, but with correct and sound understanding. The question number 15. قال السائل قد يتوهم البعض أن الدعوة إلى الله لا يقوم بها إلا العلماء على الإطلاق. وأنه لا يلزم غيرهم القيام بالدعوة فيما علموه فما توجيه فضيلتكم في ذلك He says some people may assume that دعوة calling to Allah that calling to Allah no one should deal with it period except the scholars and other than them should not deal with the دعوة from that which they learn what is your advice ya Shaykh What is your advice? Yeah, Shaykh. It's time. It's بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ما بعد. يقول الشيخ هذا ليس بتوهم، هذا حقيقة، الدعوة لا يقوم بها إلا العلماء. He said this is not assumption or illusion, this is a reality. The دعوة is the job of the scholars. قال وأنا أقول هذا. نعم he said while I say this هناك أمور واضحة يعرفها كل إنسان. But there is some other things that people know. Every person knows a little bit. فكل إنسان يأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر بحسب معرفته. For instance, every person commands good and forbids evil, he knows according to his ability. If a person knows good, he calls to it. He knows that this is evil, he calls and tells the people this is akhi, riba is haram, backbiting is haram, music is haram. قال فيأمر أهل بيته بالصلاة وبالأمور الواضحة، هذا مفروض حتى على العامة يأمرون أولادهم بالصلاة في المساجد. He said yes. A person, he's not a alim, but he commands the people of his family members, with salat in his family, in his house. He commands them to pray, and he commands them to do the things that are clear to him, the clear things to everybody. He said this is actually an obligation upon the laymen themselves to command their children to pray and to pray in the masjid. He says because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said muru awladakum bis salati sab'in wadribuhum 'alayha li 'ashr. One of the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says command your children to pray when they reach the age of 7 and discipline them if they don't pray when they reach the age of 10. Another hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatihi. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says all of you are guardian, supervisor, responsible and a keeper of your family. And you are asked about them. قال وهذه تسمى رعاية وتسمى أمرا بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر. He says this is called care and protection, protecting your family and caring for them because you command them with good and forbid them from evil. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع بلسانه فإن لم يستطع بقلبه. So in this hadith, Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet says, he who amongst you sees an act of evil, let him change it with his hand. If he cannot with his tongue, if he cannot with his heart. قال فالعامي مطلوب منه أن يأمر أهل بيته وغيرهم بالصلاة والزكاة وطاعة الله وتجنب المعاصي وأن يطهر بيته من المعاصي ويربي أولاده على الطاعة. هذا مطلوب منه وإن كان عاميا لأن هذا يعرفه كل أحد، هذا أمر واضح. He says the layman, the average man, Muslim, he's required to command the people that they live under his care and other than them to with salat. If he sees somebody not praying, he's not going to say, I'm not a alim, I'm not a scholar to talk to him. No, he says, yeah, you're a Muslim, you should pray. And especially if somebody in his family don't pray, he says, you pray. If he knows somebody is not paying the zakat, he tells them, zakat, give the zakat. If someone disobeying Allah, command them to obey Allah. He command the people and his family especially to stay away from sins and disobeying Allah. He clean his house from evil and from sins and any tools that lead to disobedience to Allah. He's a layman, an average person, but he nurtured his children upon obedience to Allah. This is required from everybody. Why? Because this is something known to everybody. Pray, yes. You don't have to be a alim to know that you have to pray. So this is a clear matter. قال أما الفتاوى وبيان الحلال والحرام وبيان الشرك والتوحيد فهذا لا يقوم به إلا العلماء. Says, but as for fatawa, issuing Islamic verdicts, and saying this is halal, this is haram, this is permissible, this is not permissible, this is lawful, this is unlawful, breaking down the matters of shirk and tawheed, no one can do this but the ulama, but the scholars, the sheikh. Hafidahullah ta'ala, he said. وجزاه الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We'll stop here. We'll continue next time, inshallah.